Father, we thank you for the word that you've given us today. Lord, the power of a renewed mind. And Lord, we need you to speak today to the spirits of our mind. And we thank you, God, for the revelation that you're giving us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And I see Apostle Leonard has found the bracelets. All right. All right. This would be a great thing to do at the spa, Sandra. You can take some for your staff, too, if you'd like. I believe Brother Gabe's doing it. You took him to work, didn't you? Yeah. He runs a business. He took him to work. We had several children want them. Their parents were so excited. They chose to take them. All right. So if you decide later in the service you want one, they're right here on the baptistry. So one of our key verses is Proverbs 18:21, which says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So if we're speaking death, we eat the fruit of. If we're speaking life, we eat the fruit of. Because death and life are in the very power of our tongue. Maybe we all need to just touch our tongue. It's right there. Death and life is right there. Think about that. What you say creates the atmosphere you're living in. What does your atmosphere look like? And what are you creating? There's no reason to complain about our atmosphere and what's going on around us if we have spoken it into existence. Often we'll speak death over our own life, or over our children by telling them how terrible they are or how horrible they've done. Death and life are in the tongue. Or over our spouses, we speak life. Amen? Okay, so just a couple questions to consider. What does your atmosphere look like? And what are you creating? We all come from different backgrounds, different walks of life, different educational standards, different economic standards. We come from so many different places at River of Life. We are a mix that God has put together. And I love the mix because God brings us together, He mixes us together, and He makes something beautiful out of it. And we release together an amazing sound that goes out into the atmosphere. Our praise this morning is resounding in the heavenlies over Elkhart County because there is a new church arising with a renewed mind, with an understanding of the authority that God has given us, and it's right here. It's in our tongue. What we speak, what we say, is supposed to line up with God's will for our city, for our life, for our family, for our children. Our declarations bring life and begin to move things in the spirit realm that would try to hinder and block us from fulfilling our destiny. I'm excited about Jesus this morning and what He's doing in our lives, because if we come into agreement with His will for our life, He will move heaven and earth for us to accomplish it. There is nothing that can stop us, church. When we align ourselves with God's will for our life and for our family and for our church, we are a force that God is mobilizing in the earth today to demonstrate the power of His kingdom. We are Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. And all the promises of Abraham belong to us. All right. We're going to keep going on our notes. 1 Peter 4:15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters." So being a busybody is listed in the same category in the scripture as being a murderer and a thief. A thief steals an individual's physical property. A busybody steals his emotional and intellectual property. Because a busybody starts talking about another person and they get wind of it, and then it's in your mind and you start to think about it and you start to worry about it and you get caught up in it emotionally. And so that busybody steals from you just like a thief would take from you physically. A busybody robs them of their dreams and aspirations by exposing their private lives before their plans and visions have come to full maturity. So a busybody will get into your personal life. And no one should be in your personal life unless you have invited them in. So my admonition to the church and Christians is wait to be invited into a person's life. Don't barge in and don't stalk someone against their will. People will stalk you. They'll stalk you on Facebook to find out your information and what you're doing. Do you know that? People will stalk you and watch you so that they can bring an accusation against you. Because the devil is an accuser of the brethren. And we do not want to connect with him. And when we are a busybody talking about other people's business, we begin to rob them of their destiny. We begin to cause other people to see them in a different way. And we call them weed seeds. If you take our prophetic classes, prophetic meaning hearing the voice of God, in the third class, you will find out about weed seeds. Weed seeds are words that are spoken that hurt someone or that causes people to see them in a different way. So if you think someone is not good enough or qualified for a particular position, and you begin to talk about that to other people, you put weed seeds in them. And so you're stealing from them as a busybody because you're taking away from them before God is finished with his maturing process in their life. Because we don't know where each one of us are at this very moment in our walk with God. And we don't know everything about everybody, and we shouldn't, because the scripture says we're to know one another by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And so God is doing a work in his church to remove from us that spirit of slandering and gossip. Don't repeat it. Don't repeat it. It might be really juicy. But don't repeat it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Because you know what? That person may have been forgiven for that, and that whole situation is under the blood. Under the blood. And God has forgiven and God has forgotten. So when you begin to talk about it, you bring it back up and you just hook arms with the devil. Do you want to partner with the devil? Is that who you want to be friends with? Then if that's the case, let's put a watch about our mouth and a guard about our lips. We've been talking about taming the tongue. The tongue has got to be tamed, because God puts this wild tongue right in that category of being a murderer, a thief, and an evildoer. The Bible's way of investing in another person's life is found in Romans 14:19. Would you read it with me, please? "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. This word edify is an interesting word. It comes from a Greek word that means architecture. So by our words, when we edify one another, we help to build the structure that God is building in their life. We add to them by speaking words of life. We're building one another up, and we are confirming one another in the word. Amen? So edifying is actually the opposite of condemning. We can come across with a condemning attitude toward people and situations. Am I the only one guilty of that? What? We can have condemning attitudes. And this is not God's way. He said in John 3:17, read with me, please. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if we are supposed to be like Jesus, then our focus needs to be reaching out to save and not condemn. Somebody say amen. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Yes. In John chapter 8 is a story about the Pharisees who caught a woman in the act of adultery. And they brought this woman to Jesus. And they began to tell Jesus that she was caught in the very act of adultery. And they thought that she should be stoned because of this. And in verses 10 and 11, we're going to read in a minute, but Jesus was very wise with this. He didn't come to condemn, right? He came to save. And so if he would have said, just take her out and stone her then, let's just stone her, he would have been condemning her of a sin. And the Pharisees that were standing there had all committed sins. And you wonder, where is the man that was with her in adultery? And it's, you know, the scripture says that Jesus, he knelt down and he started to draw in the sand. I read one commentary said he began to write the names of the men that had had sex with her, which probably isn't true, but, you know, makes an interesting commentary. She was obviously known as an adulteress in their community. But Jesus wasn't going to condemn her. And the scripture says in 10 and 11, when Jesus had raised himself up and he saw no one but the woman, because he had challenged those Pharisees that if you are without sin, then you go ahead and throw the first stone. And there wasn't a one of them that could throw a stone, because all of them had sinned. And one by one, the scripture says they began to just drop their stones and walk away. You see, they were trying to trap Jesus. But Jesus challenged them to look at their own life. Look at your own life before you're so quick to condemn and jump on someone else's life. Just look at your own life. And so they dropped them, and Jesus got up and he said, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Can you imagine the relief in that woman's heart and life and emotions when Jesus did not condemn her, but he loved her and he encouraged her, go and sin no more? You see, all of us are wired for love. Let's look at this. In Genesis 1:26, the scripture says, we are made in his likeness, right? And in his image. That's what, how we were created. That's what, the original creation blueprint that is on the inside of you. Tell someone next to you, I'm created in God's image. And also in 1 John 4:8, the scripture says, God is love. God is love. So everything that God does, he does out of love. Everything. He can't do anything that isn't out of love because God is love. And so we are created in his image after his likeness. And so we are wired for love. And actually, all of our mental circuitry is wired only for positive. And we have a natural optimism that's wired on the inside of us. Because our default mode, remember this, our default mode is love. Now, as we grow and experience traumas, we take on toxic energy and toxic thoughts that begin to change that system. But that's not how we are originally created. And God wants his church to be a church of love. We are to love one another. Bishop Dr. Bill Hammond prophesied over us that we are the Philadelphia church, that we love one another, that we'll go the extra mile. We are second mile strong people. Tell someone, I'm second mile strong. So our default mode, since we're created in the image of God, is to make good choices. So when we make bad choices and react to things in the wrong way, then we mess with the wiring that's in our mind and our brain. You see, our brains are neuroplastic. And that actually means it can change and it can regrow. Now, back in the 80s, they said the brain could not change. Do you remember? It's hardwired. You're stuck that way. You're going to get old and all these things are going to happen to you. And if you have a brain injury, you cannot recover. If you have a stroke, you cannot recover. But science has proven that is not true. The problem is it takes 17 years for the discoveries in science to actually catch up and be implemented into the medical field. Did you know that? It takes 17 years. I have been studying this process for over 20 years of the renewing of the mind and how that works scientifically and how that works according to the scripture. And it's just beginning to become common knowledge, and the medical field is starting to talk about it, that there is a mind-body connection, that most of our diseases, 95%, are caused from toxic emotions in our mind. Think about that. It's amazing. So our mind, just a few details before I go on, our mind is separate from our brain. The brain and the mind are not the same thing. And your mind actually changes your brain. The brain is the physical part of your body. The mind is the non-physical part of your body. Mind is thinking, choosing, feeling. The scripture says in Ephesians 6:23, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there's a renewal process that takes place in our mind to get us to the place that we are operating as God's representatives in the earth. We are wired to love just like God loves us. Amen. And do you know there is circuitry in your brain that will, there's connectors that connect as you learn new things. And if you don't use those things, your brain actually purges, it cuts them off and removes them. But every day, science has discovered when you wake up, there is a whole new process that's taken place in your brain, and it is ready for renewal every morning. Think about the verse in Lamentations 3:22. It says, "The Lord's mercies are new every morning." Every morning you wake up with a fresh start and a new beginning. Every day you wake up and you can actually improve your brain by the way you think and what you think about during the day. So your mind works through your brain and the brain responds to your mind. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as you're thinking, it causes changes in your brain. And your brain is wired for love. And this is why someone can commit the worst, most horrific crime, go to prison, and be saved, and their mind renewed, and they come out a new creature in Christ. It is because we have that God-given ability to change our brain by the way that we think. And the Word of God is alive, it's quick, it's powerful, it goes in and it cuts between our soul and our spirit. And if we will continually think on the Word, we're going to be changed. Isn't that amazing that that can happen? God did not create us to stay in a mode of destruction. You know, this is the studies. Just want to share one thing with you. This is very interesting because people with distorted thinking are people who lack love. And when you hear about mass shooters, they'll often go back to a place that they're really upset about something that happened to them, because they did not receive the love that they should have received there, or the acceptance. It takes 7 minutes a day. And if you think about something toxic for just 7 minutes a day, you will build a long-term memory. We have long and short-term memory. Short term only lives about 24 hours. And then it's pruned away. But if you're continually thinking about a toxic thought just 7 minutes a day, then that begins to wire in your brain. That thought becomes physical. And they pick up energy. So if you keep thinking about it daily, it's going to grow. And I remember years ago I taught what you focus on is what you're going to move toward. And so what you're focusing on is going to grow and actually form a pattern in your brain. Within another 21 days, by day 42, that thought becomes automatic. It's just an automatic thought. And by 63 days, it becomes a habit. And so it is a habit that you do that you're not even really that aware of. So if you think about every day for 63 days, the same thing, you're going to build a habit. You know, we say it takes 21 days to change a habit. It takes a lot longer than that. It takes longer than that. 21 days is a great start, but it actually takes longer than that. That's why Will had to take the challenge again. Amen. But it has sufficient energy to produce something words and actions. So this recent shooting, for someone to pick up a gun and go in and kill all of these students in this high school, this was not just a random thought that he was going to go in and do that. This is something that he thought about for a long time. And so then, I'm not taking sides at all, okay? So everyone knows that, whoever listens to this on the web, I'm not taking sides. But one side starts yelling, we need more gun control. And then the other side starts yelling, it's mental health illness. When really, the root problem is, it is a lack of love. It is a lack of love. So when you think about playing video games full of murder and constantly, daily, watching programs full of murder and violence, and don't get upset with me, but the reality is, this is the destruction of our culture and our society. Amen. We have said you have a free will and you can do whatever you want. But there are boundaries that need to be put on what our culture is looking at. They want to give birth control instead of teaching abstinence. And look what's on TV or on the movies. It's constantly sexualized. Our culture is so sexualized and so full of violence. It is like a Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus warned about that. He says, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Lord. People of God, let's wake up to what is going on. It's a lack of love. That an individual, he went back into that school because he was so upset. And that constantly focusing on whatever it was, that toxicity, that negative energy caused the brain to change. And his reality and his perception was so distorted. But we've got to go back to the root cause. It's the lack of love. The lack of love. That is why it is so important that all of us reach out with love, because love will override evil. Amen. We've seen it happen in people's lives. It overrides evil. The love of God covers a multitude of sin. The power of a renewed mind, in your notes, it says, if you realize how powerful your thoughts are, you would never think a negative thought. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, which is a lot of the things I was just talking about. The more time and energy we put into the things of this world, the more we're going to become like the world. And the scripture says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So thoughts are real physical things that occupy mental real estate. They impact our body, soul, and our spirit. Will Bowen shares a story in his Complaint Free World book about a woman that he went to pray for. And this woman had had a stroke. And he went to pray for her and to talk to her. And before he went into her room, he stopped at the nurse's station and he asked, what's the prognosis? How is she? And the nurse said, oh, she's doing great. She said, she'll be out of here in a week and she'll be back home. and she'll be doing great. And so he went in happy, you know, and he got in there and he said, how are you doing? And she said, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. And he said, the nurse said that you're doing great. You know, all of your tests are coming back great and you're going to be home in a week or two. And she said, no, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. So he prayed with her. He left and he went back. He went back every day. He went back the next day. Same scenario. And so he went and he talked to the nurse and she talked to the doctor. And so they came in. They made different trips in to encourage her. Hey, everything is coming back fine. You're doing great. You are doing great. And you're going to be home in a week or two. And she kept saying, no, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And he said within 2 weeks, he did her funeral. She did die. She spoke death rather than life, rather than coming in agreement with what the doctors were saying. She chose death. And this, when you think about this, look at Deuteronomy 30. Verses 19 through 20, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. We choose life and death, and we know it's appointed unto every person a time to die. We do know that. But when someone just suddenly dies, when everything comes back normal, something is going on. And think about it. Prophetess Vernella shared last week, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we hope, it's an activity of the mind that changes the structure of our brain in a positive or a normal direction. So when we hope in God, who is love and who is life, we actually begin to change the structure of our brain. Hope is the, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Things are thoughts that occupy our mental real estate. What are we thinking about? We can have the power of a renewed mind. And I'm going to close with a couple more passages here. 3 John 1 and 2. These are the things the Lord gave me to share this morning. God wants to prosper us. Someone say amen. Amen. We read that in the psalm this morning. We're going to take a look at it in 3 John 1 and 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So this particular scripture gives the connection of the mind and the body. We are going to prosper and be in good health as our soul prospers. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Prosper means in the Greek to help on the road, to succeed in reaching, to succeed in business affairs, to have a prosperous journey. That is what the Lord wants for us. Health is to have sound health, to be well in body, to be uncorrupt and true in doctrine, to be in health, to be safe and sound, to be whole. This is the mind and body connection. And God ministers to our entire being. What I learned as I began to counsel the church years ago is that people will take their body to the doctor, and they'll take their soul to the psychiatrist, and then they'll come into the church and want spiritual renewal. Well, you know what? God wants to be a part of the whole package. He wants to minister to your body, to your spirit, to your soul. He desires for us to be prosperous. And often I hear people say, well, it's God's will for so-and-so to be sick, or it's God's will for so-and-so to have this, or God's will for that. And I'm thinking, if it's God's will for that, then the devil would be going around healing people. Because the devil does the opposite of whatever God is doing. Is that right? So it isn't God's will. God prays that we, I just read it, may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So in closing today, we are going to read a final passage in Hebrews. We will be receiving an offering, and we have worship planned this after the message today, and ministry and communion, so please stay. But in closing, I want to share this passage, especially since we're receiving communion today. Hebrews 9, 11 through 20. But Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. This is not this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifers, sprinkling the unclean, sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more, say how much more, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So you see, it's the blood of Jesus that covers our conscience and cleanses us from our dead and evil and sinful works. Hallelujah. So that we may serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritances. We have an eternal inheritance in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, as we bow our head before you. Thank you, Lord. And George, you can come and play. Thank you. Father, we thank you that as we bow our head before you this morning, Lord, that there is the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus over every person today that is cleansing their conscience this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the renewing power of your Spirit to renew our minds today. Father, cut away, and take away toxic thoughts, toxic energy, toxic emotions, Lord, that are burdening down our soul today, and sprinkle us, oh God, with the blood of Jesus. Just let him pour out his Spirit on you this morning. As I was in intercession for the church, I saw a gold shimmering stream flowing over God's people this morning. His divine glory and intervention this morning is right at your reach. If you will open up your hearts, open up your spirit, and say, come, Lord Jesus, and cleanse me. Sprinkle me this morning with your blood. Remove the dead works from my mind. In Jesus' name, we open up our hearts to receive all that you have for us. And we thank you, Lord God, for the cleansing today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Just thank him this morning. We thank him. Only God can do this for us. Only God can do this for us. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for our sin of gossip and being a busybody. Remove that from our hearts, our minds, our desires, Lord. Help us, God, to set our affections and our desire on things above. Lord, to be builders in the house of God. To speak words of life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Can we give the Lord a praise this morning? We're giving him a praise this morning because he is worthy, worthy, worthy of our praise. Hallelujah.